strong. Use as directed.
Education. Entertainment. It's Edutainment with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620 KTAR.
Yes, she certainly does. So, yeah, if you're having a problem with your computer and you can't get through to the show, then go check with Stacy's mom. Apparently, she's got it going on.
That's what
you're listening to the Computer Corner here on News Radio 620 KTAR. It's really nasty outside, so you may as well be inside cussing at your computer. And if you are, obviously, one line open, 602-277-5827. Let's go to Adam.
Hey.
The world famous future business leader of America.
The world famous?
No.
The West Valley famous?
Close. So tell me about the organization, exactly what that was all about.
The Future Business Leaders of America is an organization which high school students can join that involves a lot of different competitions and stuff. It's basically meant for people who are interested in business technology or just a bunch of different business topics.
Uh-huh.
And you can go with your high school to competitions and stuff, and you can win trophies and prizes and different stuff
so
like that.
So what did you do to win these? Oh, and what specifically did you do that got you these fantastic honors?
Well, what everybody did to get their prizes is they basically sat down with a multiple choice test, and they took the test, and the highest scores on the test got the prizes.
Ah, so you flexed your mental muscles and made everybody else look like mental midgets, huh?
I guess you could say that.
Are you really good at this stuff, or are you just a good test taker?
I know the material pretty well, but I mean, multiple choice tests help a lot.
You're not one of that knows a lot of material because there's stuff on the palm of your hand, right? or the new way on your Palm Pilot.
Palm Pilot. Yeah.
Now, how restrictive do they get with electronics now in school?
You can have bring most electronics in with you, but they can't be seen in class, or they will be taken away.
So they're going to, like, IM each other the answers. What's number four, number three? And they got all the codes, right?
Yeah.
You hear this little sound all of the class?
Yeah.
Class? Class? All right, Adam, you got some news about Gmail, Google's free email?
Yep. Well, people that got Gmail recently will have found out that they have 50 new Gmail invitations, which means they can invite 50 people to have this free Gmail service right now.
So now this is an invitation-only service at this point, huh?
Right.
It has been since the beginning, but you only really got, for most people, four invitations in the past.
Four to six.
That.
And then now that's been increased to 50. So it's becoming less and less of an invitation-only because pretty much everybody can invite anybody now.
So you mean all that money they raised from going public, they can now afford to do more invitations?
Yeah.
More stamps!
But Google still says the Gmail is still in beta stage, which means it's still in development. It's not ready to go to a totally public system yet.
You want me to give you a little bit of personal insight on this thing? I've got a Gmail account, and funny enough, this morning, I was just waiting for the show to come on, and I logged in, and all of my stuff is gone.
No.
So anybody who's using it, it's worked great, and there was nothing in there I truly cared about, but because it still is beta, and if there's anything you really, really care about, you might want to figure out a way to archive or back that stuff up.
Wow, I just kind of clicked on my Gmail account just so I can check. Okay, my stuff's still here.
Well, you know what? Let's take this to the next level because, you know, if I've got an AOL account or if I've got a Cox account, why would I want Gmail?
Well, because Gmail offers a lot more room than any of those other accounts will have. You can store up to 1 gigabyte of email.
Yeah,
G.
Well, there's other reasons besides that, right?
Right. Google also incorporates their search feature, for one thing, in, so you can actually use Google's specialized search feature to look through all your emails.
As most people are aware, Google is the master of searching, and they've taken their powerful search engine that can search the planet, and they've made it so you can search your inbox. So rather than making 5,000 folders and trying to categorize things, instead they're trying to teach you to use email in a different way. Just leave everything in one folder,
right,
and when you want to go find something, just type in a couple of search terms and you can search your own inbox. Very powerful feature, trying to kind of revolutionize the way people deal with email. So
Well, and another reason to have multiple email accounts is everybody complains about the scourge that is spam. Well, if you're giving your primary email address to everybody and their dog, you're going to get spammed a lot harder than if you protect that one and use a secondary account for all those other people.
Yes.
So that would be another reason to have that secondary account. If you're going to be buying stuff online, you're interfacing with people you really don't know.
Yeah. I've got like 5 email accounts now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but you're a future business leader of America.
That's true. He is a future business leader of America, which makes him elite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so now this danger, not danger, this warning for people that have iPod minis, what's up with that?
Not as much of a warning as it is just an annoyance that's going to be coming out from Apple. For those of you who just bought iPod minis, you're going to be pretty disappointed because within the next few weeks, it's rumored from a very reliable source that Apple is going to release a new iPod mini model that has a slightly bigger hard drive and a color screen for the same price.
A slightly reliable?
No, source? Slightly bigger. Oh, a slightly reliable, yeah.
A fairly reliable source?
A very reliable.
He and Steve are pretty tight. So
Mr. Jobs give you a phone call.
Well, so if what you're saying is if you just bought an iPod, you might want to check to see if there's maybe a quick return that you can do, or a update or exchange or something.
Right.
Hey, at this point, Adam, do you have an iPod or an Apple computer of any sort?
I have the iPod mini model that I got that around Christmas.
It's your little Adam's apple.
Not.
All right,
hey,
Adam.
All right, so when's your next competition?
End of March.
And let us know how that goes, obviously, and maybe can you invite like the whole listening audience to come?
I don't know yet.
Cheer you on.
I don't know yet.
We could probably get six people there.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, yeah.
Adam. Start the wave over there.
We'll come crash your competition.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Adam.
All right.
Thanks. We'll see you. By the way, for those of you that don't know, Adam's been with us as a regular contributor by phone for, what, 3-4 years now?
I think two and a half, three maybe. I don't know.
I think he was 11 when he started calling it.
Yeah, and he's 15 now. And yeah. So that tells me he's been here for 12 years.
12 years. Yeah. Yep. There you have it.
There's just Brandon's expert master.
All right. You've heard us over and over again throughout various shows, if you've listened at all, that we give you tips and tricks and hints on how to secure your machine. You know, we tell you to do this and we tell you to do that. Well, this week we have them all in one concise list. So you can go right down the list to see how many of these things you've done and which ones you haven't done and ways for you to learn how to more efficiently secure your computer. So visit the Data Doctor's website, won't you? And click on the radio show section. You'll see all the basics of computer security that we've got listed there to try to help you get a handle on it.
And most of the links, most of the resources, most of the things we suggest you do are things that are free. They just take a little bit of your time and a little bit of reading, maybe.
And elbow grease.
Yeah.
By the way, have you ever... What does that look like, elbow grease?
I don't know. Same thing as maybe it's similar to navel lint.
Do you buy that in a jar though, or I mean, because if it takes a little elbow grease, what?
They sell it in six packs. You know.
You know what? We're gonna have to do a whole show about where that kind of stuff came from, right?
Yeah. Wait, what's that website you can go to? Ask. We're gonna go ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves.
I'm gonna do that during the commercial break.
Let's do that. Shall we go to Joe here? Joe's got an HP that will not turn off. Is that correct, Joe?
That's correct.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
So
it works fine, but everything else except when I want to do to turn it off and back on again, it gets to Windows is now closing and it freezes the screen there, and to turn it off I have to push the off button.
You said something I'm not sure I understood. You're saying if you tell it to shut down normally,
Shut down normal or restart, either one.
Okay. Oh, either one. It just gets at this screen and freezes, basically trying to shut down, but it never really quite gets there.
Yes.
And I'm going to guess that you're running Windows 98 or Windows ME.
XP.
Windows XP, really? Okay. This was a problem that we saw a lot back in the days of Windows 98 and Windows ME, and with 2000 and XP, this seemed to go away in most cases, but what it generally relates to is that your computer, when it shuts down, it has to actually close down every program, every process, every file that's open before it can successfully go through that shutdown process. So what most likely is happening is some program is not playing nicely, and Windows isn't able to take control, and Windows isn't able to shut it down, so therefore it can't shut down.
That's one option. The other possibility is that there have been updates to your particular model of a computer that you're not aware of, that if you go to the HP website a lot of times, you can research specific to your model issues that they know of. And sometimes they'll have what's called a patch where you can install that that basically allows it to shut down. There's various parts of the computer that have to work perfectly for this to happen. The power-saving feature sometimes will actually confuse the computer and not allow it to shut down. Or like Brandon was talking about, most likely, especially if you have an older non-Windows XP software program that you installed. Do you recall during the setup of this thing, did you ever install something where Windows XP said, well, this isn't necessarily certified to be run in Windows XP?
No, I really don't. I recall. It could have been, but I don't recall having it.
That or like a printer driver that's older, you know, those kinds of things. Any one of those things can cause Windows XP to not be able to shut down. It's basically doing a roll call saying, you know, everybody out of the pool, and it's waiting, and they're not getting out of the pool, so it's just waiting.
If this was a machine that was in one of our shops, what one of our techs would do to try to troubleshoot this problem is they would go in and selectively choose or unchoose, I guess, some of the programs that are automatically starting when Windows starts up, and then try to shut down the machine. And they tried this over and over until they found the culprit, if that indeed was the problem. And then, of course, they would go through and either uninstall that or remove it from the startup, depending on what it was, to try to help control that.
Do you know how to start up in safe mode?
Yeah.
Have you tried starting up in safe mode and then seeing if it shuts down in safe mode?
No, I haven't. Haven't tried to shut down from there. No.
Yeah. Well, try that, because if it works, then you know for sure it's something that's loading that's outside of the Windows operating system. And if it still won't shut down, then it's probably something with the operating system, which you're probably going to have to get with HP to see if they have any updates on that particular model of computer.
There's just a bunch of different possibilities here, Joe, on this one, and it's something that, without really getting in front of it and just starting to kind of experiment and turning one thing off and leaving others on and just keep going through a process until you find what the problem is and then eliminating that, it's something that's going to be pretty difficult to really give you solid advice on. Here's the problem, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not going to be that simple, but start with that safe mode, because that'll tell you which direction you need to go.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
All right, good luck, Joe.
All right.
That or just drink a lot of coffee and never turn your computer off.
You can do that too.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
With Joe's absence, that actually frees up a line. I'm going to remind you, 602-277-5827. We've got to run to a quick break, but your thought?
No, no thoughts. I have nothing. My head
no
is
thoughts?
Empty. Yes. My head is mahalo.
Stick around when we come back. We've got the Geek Speak of the Week and our free download of the week, so you don't want to miss those things. It's the Computer Corner right here on News Radio 620 KTAR.